I am a man now, and it's time I go home. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, on this St. Patrick's Day, I am here to review Ireland's first martial art movie, Fatal Deviation, starring James P. Bennett. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Fatal Deviation, starring James P. Bennett, is considered by movie buffs, martial art movie fans, and Irish people to be one of the worst movies ever made. Actually, in 1998, when this film came out, Irish film critics at the time were calling this the worst Irish movie ever made. It was panned so bad, the movie never got a theatrical release, went straight to VHS tape. But thanks to the power of the internet and the fact that nowadays, I mean, really, even in the 90s a little bit, but I feel like now more than ever, enjoying bad movies is just like a big thing for a lot of consumers. Thanks in part to all of that, there is a resurgence in popularity for Fatal Deviation. It is one of those, it's so bad, it's good, highly sought out movies, kind of like The Room. It's not good. I can tell you that for certain, folks. It's not very good, but it's become very popular, so much so that Bennett has gone on within the past few years now to say that he's actually considering making a follow-up film 20-something years later. He's tossed around two different names. One title he's kicked around is Fatal Deviation Krakatoa, and the other one is Triple Deviation. And I think I can speak on behalf of everybody here in saying the correct answer is Fatal Deviation Krakatoa. You throw the word Krakatoa into something, and it suddenly becomes really cool, really, I don't know, Krakatoa is a really cool word. It feels really good when you say it. Pause this show right now and say the word Krakatoa a few times, and you'll see what I'm getting at. When was the last time you said the word Krakatoa? Take that time right now, friend. It's a good word. Anyway, there's a resurgence in popularity in a film that otherwise should have been lost in time and space, all thanks in part to the fact that we have the internet. This movie is for free, available for free on YouTube. You can find a link for it in the description of this episode. And the fact that, like, it is enjoyable. I'm myself included. I enjoy watching bad movies. There's just something about bad movies that are sometimes just like really fun to watch. It's a good time. And honestly, like, this movie is bad, don't get me wrong, but I feel like I've seen way worse when it comes to this. Now, I am going to rib this movie. I'm going to tell you the things that were funny, that made no sense, why this movie is bad, all that kind of stuff. But just for a moment, I do also kind of want to celebrate this film a little bit, because the backstory to how this movie, why this movie even exists and what has come of it, I don't know, it just kind of is like a bit inspiring. So right around 97, Bennett had gotten a tip-off that apparently Hong Kong film studios were starting to show some interest in him. By the way, Bennett is described on Wikipedia as being a real-life martial art enthusiast, which is a sentence that does not make any sense to me. What do you mean, real-life martial art enthusiast, as opposed to what, a fake one? Also, the guy is a martial artist, so it just, to me, is redundant to say that he's a martial art enthusiast if he is a martial artist. Most people are usually enthusiasts for the things that they enjoy doing. Maybe not people who play Magic the Gathering. They're probably the one exception. They all seem incredibly bummed out by their thing all the time. But outside of them, usually if you have a sport or a hobby, you're usually an enthusiast for it. Anyway, so right around 97, Bennett finds out Hong Kong studios are starting to show some interest in him. So what he ended up doing is he got his friends together. He got a bunch of his friends together. He got a tiny amount of funding and made this movie basically as a demo tape. This is essentially him showing off his skills and abilities and acting and a whole bit. And obviously, it didn't completely work out for him. Bennett doesn't go on to become, you know, Ireland's Jean-Claude Van Damme or Jason Statham or Keanu Reeves. He doesn't like go on to have like this big career. But considering the fact that like he gets this tip off, he gets this tiny amount of funding. It was like some 8,000 Irish pounds, and I did not bother to do the conversion from 1998 Irish pounds to 2026 American dollars, because the point remains, that's a tiny amount of money to use to make a movie, even in that time period. So, like, he gets this tiny amount of funding, he puts this thing together, and you know what? He doesn't become this big star, but he does go on to have small roles in other movies like The Lone Ranger. He's in Attrition starring Steven Seagal. He's in Kickboxer Retaliation and the upcoming Kickboxer Armageddon. And like so not only does he go on to do other movies, albeit smaller roles, but he does talk about that his two favorite martial art actors at the time who played a big influence on Fatal Deviation was Jean-Claude Van Damme. Obviously, it was Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal. And he goes on to be in movies with those guys. I think Van Damme shows up in Attrition. That's Steven Seagal. Van Damme, I think, shows up in Kickboxer Retaliation. If not, Kickboxer is obviously one of the big Van Damme film. So, like, all that considered, and the fact that, again, it's 2026 and we're still somehow talking about this movie, like, good for him. He saw an opportunity, he took it, and yeah, he's not the next Keanu, he was not the next Steven Seagal or Jean-Claude Van Damme, but, like, he saw the opportunity and he took it and he did something with it. And you know what? Good for him. That I respect him for that. Yeah, one of the reviews on IMDb does describe this movie as a home video, and there is some truth to that, especially with like the opening title card for the film. It looks very old and very dated and not cinematographic at all. Like, it's not very good. But you know what? Like, he took his shot. And good for him. And it kind of worked out a little bit for him. So, like, good for him. Proud of him for that. And I bet you, if and when he decides to do another film, another Fatal Deviation, Krakatoa or not, if he goes to Kickstarter, this thing is going to be funded and then some. He's going to have way more money than what he was able to get in 98 to make this first film. So, here's hoping that happens. And now, with all the niceties out of the way, let's make fun of the movie. Let's start off just by setting the table with the plot synopsis from IMDb. Here you go, word for word. A classic good versus evil action flick mixed with kicks, guns, motorcycles, and a hot babe. Which, let's be honest, those are all the essential ingredients for a good action movie, right? I will say this, when it comes to the hot babe, she's good looking. She's not my type. I will say that. I think that's the nicest way to put that. It's not that she's ugly. She's just not my type. It's fine. But hey, James is really into her. This is also one of those movies where basically everybody in it, their character names is just their name. They're just going to keep it nice and simple. But obviously that plot synopsis gives you like nothing to work with. So let's actually get into the story of this film. So the movie opens with James in his loft at a reformatory school, I believe, packing things up. He's finished school and he's going to move back home to solve the murder mystery of who killed his dad. By the way, as he's packing things up, you can see some pictures on the wall. His dad trained him in martial arts is kind of the things that you're picking up a little bit here. There's also a big picture of Jean-Claude Van Damme framed here. Van Damme especially is a huge influence on this movie. The guy is basically wearing the like sweatpants with the little tank top like Van Damme used to wear all the time. He does splits over two chairs at one point, and not as deep as Van Damme, but deeper than you and I can get. It's very clearly a very heavy Van Damme focused film. The Steven Seagal part seems to be a lot of the line delivery, a lot of the lines that Jimmy has basically amount to those like famous one-liners that Steven Seagal delivered a lot in the 90s. That seems to be the big Seagal influence here. Also, if you're hoping for this movie to be a demonstration on Irish stick fighting or collar and elbow wrestling, no, none of that is present. So he moves back home to figure out who murdered his dad. Now, back home, there is an Irish mob that is slowly taking over the town, obviously. And this Irish crime boss killed Jimmy's dad. That sounds like a spoiler, but it's not. It is something that is plainly stated within the first 5 minutes of this movie. This movie, like virtually all bad movies, is a textbook example of why. So James Bennett stars and wrote the film. And this is a textbook example about why people who do not have the experience with screenwriting, with writing a script, should probably have people who kind of know what that's supposed to look like kind of go through it a little bit, because just like every bad movie, there are lines that make absolutely no sense there. And it's not even like the line delivery aspect. I'm not even talking about that. These people aren't actors and actresses. They don't. That's fine. But like some of the lines themselves are telling, not showing. They're just not, that's just like not how people talk kind of things, kind of moments. And there's also like a big plot movement in this film that is very disconnected, but is clearly supposed to continue to build off of the whole he loves Jean-Claude Van Damme thing. Now, as Jimmy is assimilating back to his old town, he starts seeing the hot babe, who apparently her name is Nicole. I don't remember them ever saying that once in the movie, but I just pulled up the cast listing and apparently that is her name, because I'm pretty sure there's only one woman in the whole movie. So he starts seeing the hot babe. And of course, the hot babe is in a it's complicated relationship with the Irish crime boss's son. Now, the crime boss's son is actually kind of an interesting pull that this movie got. The crime boss son, his name is Mikey, and he is played by Mikey Graham, who was a member of the Irish pop band Boyzone. Never heard of them. You know, maybe if you're like more into 90s pop culture than I am, maybe that vaguely sounds familiar to you. But when it comes to the acting in this movie, this guy basically saves the film. Like, he's the main bad guy in the story, technically, but like acting wise, he's the best actor because he's the one who obviously has like stage presence. He knows how to perform. That being said, James Bennett does a pretty good job. I mean, he's like basically 98% of the, he's in like 98% of this movie, so he's gotta be good. But Mikey Graham does a really good job here in this movie. I wish I could say the same for the old man who's the crime boss. He is horrific. He is awful. He is an awful, awful actor. I wish if you like to laugh at bad acting, you're going to love the old man. He is awful. So naturally, because he is seeing the hot babe, this is going to cause friction with him and Mikey and the crime family. Also, in this small town, there is an abbey, which is a kind of a monastery, and it's time for their annual fight tournament, and the crime family really wants to win the fight tournament because that's going to give them more sway in the community, and so they bring in a ringer to fight for them, and Jimmy also fights in it. So that is the part... That whole thing, it's almost like we have two different movies going on that is very thinly connected. I'm sure there's a way to actually connect these two things in a way that actually like builds off of each other. But the idea of a movie about a guy who's trying to solve the mystery of who killed his dad, only to find out that it's like Irish crime family related. Great idea. Love the movie pitch. It probably already exists, if I'm being honest. And also, a movie about a abbey in Ireland hosting an illegal fight club tournament thing. Sure, that's different. Why not? There may be a way to bring these two worlds together. And again, they probably needed somebody to look at the script to maybe figure out how to kind of make these two things fit a little bit better. But in the end, Jimmy wins the tournament. He brings down this whole crime family and gets revenge for his dad and ends up with the hot babe, and they all live happily ever after. This movie comes in at an hour and 16 minutes, which is short, but it still manages to feel a little long. I found myself kind of zoning out here and there along the way. And I would say it's probably because it only has really more like 45 minutes worth of actual story to it. The acting was really bad. The lines don't make sense. The fight choreography, though, truly, and I mean this sincerely, not too bad. Honestly, it's pretty good. There's some cool stunts in this movie. There's some things that I don't know if I've really seen before. There's one where Jimmy goes to slide across the hood of a car to a bad guy who's on the other side of the car, but the bad guy's kind of like starting to stand up. So as Jimmy is sliding over the top of the hood, he brings his back leg, the leg further away from the bad guy, over and snaps it down and like kind of does this like sliding side slide kick and knocks the bad guy back down. It was pretty cool. I don't know if I've really seen something like that before. In another classic stunt moment, they're shooting him at Jimmy, and one of the Irish guys are like shooting back and forth at each other, and the Irish mob guy goes to reload his gun, and during that moment, Jimmy runs over and like jumps over this like wagon looking thing and lands on top of him before he can reload. Pretty cool visual. Also, they wrecked a car on accident in one scene. So they were shooting a scene where Jimmy's driving a car and he's shooting at Irish mobsters who are shooting back at him. And he's on like this dirt road and he loses control. He like legitimately loses control of the car and flips it. But they recorded the whole thing. And so they just kept the footage and worked with it. And it's kind of scary. Like it's a serious like flip and roll with the car, but hey, they made it work. Good for them. The funniest part of the whole movie is not the naked man taking a bath outside while wearing a cowboy hat. That is for some reason in this movie. I don't know. It's it really has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. It's one of the Irish mobsters. But the funniest part, It was pretty early on, and it was the moment that helped me realize, like, oh, I'm really going to enjoy this movie, is that Jimmy has just moved back into town, and so naturally he needs to get some food. So he goes to this grocery store. This is when we are first introduced to the hot babe. She's working at the grocery store, and a couple hoodlums come in. I think they might be some of the Irish mob guys, but I really can't remember now. But they're just doing, like, hoodlum things and being a nuisance in the grocery store. And eventually they start talking to the hot babe. And I genuinely can't remember what they were saying, but I don't remember them saying or doing anything that was actually like harassment. Maybe from like a grocery store standpoint, they are harassing her because I used to work retail. So like, yeah, they're being a nuisance right now. Please go somewhere else. But gender specific wise, sexuality wise, I don't remember them doing or saying anything that's like that kind of harassment. But it's still like you get what they're trying to do here. Jimmy spawns from out of nowhere. He's grocery shopping around the store and then just suddenly appears behind these guys and says to them, stop harassing her or something like that. Immediately knees one in the crotch and then kicks him through a display of paper towels. Look, we definitely need people to stand up to creepy dudes who are like harassing women, even if maybe in this scene that wasn't necessarily like what was going on here, but it's implied or whatever. But the fact that he just like immediately knees the dude in the crotch and then kicks him through the display of paper towels, I was like, oh my gosh, that is so funny. That is such an escalation. There's no like the guy doing the harassing, he doesn't escalate the situation at all. It goes, stop harassing her, knee to the groin, kick through the display. It's just immediate. There's no like pushing or, hey, go away, this doesn't concern you. Just like immediate escalation to violence. Well done, Bennett. Our time is just about up, but I do have to mention one more very funny, very good, but very funny thing that also happened in this movie. This movie, all things considered, had really good music in it. It was pretty good. I enjoyed a lot of the music. I do kind of like Celtic music anyway, but I really enjoyed the music in this movie. But there were some very key moments where the music made no sense paired with what was going on screen. Genuinely, considering the fact that Van Damme is a big influence in this movie, for this movie, obviously there are these training moments that are like a good old-fashioned 80s training montage thing, right? And it's whatever. I've talked about that. I talked about that at length last month about all of that. But so it's whatever for me. But the song that they're playing in the background during this sequence makes no sense. It sounds great, but it makes no sense whatsoever for the song to be playing here. And it's not even being used in like an ironic sense, like how Zack Snyder uses music. Like it just truly does not make sense. So it makes it funny. The best way I can compare it, think of the training scene in Rocky IV, the whole reason that people pretend to like that movie, right? So that epic, quintessential 80s workout training sequence in a movie, okay? So picture that, but the song Mbop by Hanson is playing, okay? That gives you a taste of these training scenes and like the kind of song that is being paired with it. It just does not make sense, and it is quite comical. But that's Fatal Deviation, everybody. Would I watch this movie again? Yes. Yes, I would. All badness aside, yes, I would watch this movie again. Would I buy a physical media copy of this? Oh my gosh, this is going to be my life's mission now to get my hands on one of these cassette tapes. You do realize that, right? Like I have to have one of these VHS tapes now. That's going to be the ultimate antique store pull for me now if I somehow manage to get my hands on a dusty copy of Fatal Deviation. And you know what? James P. Bennett, Mikey Graham, or the Hot Babe, if any of you somehow find yourself listening to this episode, reach out. I'd love to talk to you and figure out some of the details of this movie. Mikey Graham, how did you even get connected with this? Like, Bennett, what do we have to do to get another... What do we have to do to get Fatal Deviation Krakatoa or Triple Deviation or Infinite Deviation or whatever you want to call the movie? 10 to Midnight Deviation, whatever. Like, you let us know. You let us know. But thanks for listening to today's episode, and a happy St. Patrick's Day for you all. Please drink responsibly and enjoy your corned beef. Thanks for listening. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And check out my other projects, including my YouTube channel, Studio 219, my sister show, My Seminary Life, and all the other great shows here on the Ends Out Ministries podcast. network, like Page and Pixel, Systematic Geekology, or Why I Don't Like. You can also follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza P-R-T-Y. That's it again for me. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.